Conscious that the head of the church has released a detachment. What you do when you are aware of the glory of God is in the house. Hey. All things are possible. Miracles. Interventions. Miracles. All things are possible. Interventions. I lift my hands in praise. I give thanks to the one who has delivered me, who has rescued my soul from the hand of the enemy. Yeah, I lift my hand. His triumph is loud on my lips. I lift my hand, but I know he has mightily helped me. I lift my hands because he has come to my assistance. I sing a song of joy and thanksgiving. Yea, I rejoice in all that the Father has done for me and in me. And even today, I stand in awe of his majesty. Majesty, to you be all the praise. King of glory, to you be all the honor. Yea, nothing that has afflicted or nothing that has challenged can stay in the light of your glory, for I am in the light of your glory. So all things that have to do with challenges and hindrances, they melt away under the heat of your love. For your love is a mighty heat that melts away all opposition. So I stand as I truly am, free, free indeed, declared free by the Son of God. And as a son today, all that he has made available, yeah, I take hold of and I enjoy and I give full expression, because that which my Father has done cannot be undone. That which my Father has given, I can never lose. That which he has provided will always be with me all my days. So I will walk in the light of his glory, in the light of his word. For the Spirit keeps saying, oh son, the table is set. Eat as much as you can. Eat and keep eating and keep eating. Let your mind consume the reality of the blessing. Blessed is who you are to be a blessing. Let the reservoirs of glory, let them arise from inside, be refreshed by his goodness, and let that river, grant you wisdom, clarity and understanding, until fear is no more, until doubt is vanquished, until the works of darkness can no longer be seen. For as you have believed, so has it happened. As you have believed, so has it taken place. As you have believed, so is it now. Even now, even now, even now, even now. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Can we sit down? Let's just sit down. Thank you. What's he going to get into? Thank you. You know, in 2 Corinthians and chapter 1, just let people be. The meeting has already changed. So whatever direction we go, we just flow with spirit. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. The Bible says, but as God is true. God is true. But as God is true, as God is faithful, as God is faithful, as God abides faithful, as He remains faithful, our word towards you was not yea and nay. Our word towards you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in Him was yea. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Hallelujah. Notice all the promises of God in Him. He is a fulfillment. He is the execution of all the promises of God. So instructions that we have in the epistles are instructions that point our attention to the fact that you are a living proof of a promise fulfilled. You are a living proof of a promise fulfilled. You are that living proof. We said in this series that when it comes to God's promises in the Old Testament, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. And the Bible was describing the faith of the elders. In that same Hebrews chapter 10, if you go to verse 35, look at what it says. Verse 35, chapter 10, verse 9. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Yeah? For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might what? Receive the promise. He's talking about the Old Testament patriarchs. Next verse. It says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Next verse. But we are none of them who draw back unto destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul, or the salvation of the soul. Next verse. Now faith. Can you see that? That faith of the patriarchs was a substance of what they hoped for. It was the evidence of what they did not see. For by that faith they bore witness. By that faith, they had a good report. Hallelujah. Their faith was in the promises of God. Or in the promise of God. Now, we've been examining the promises of God for a while now. And we're looking at it in the light of what has already taken place. The Bible says, in Him that is in Christ Jesus, it is He that will come that has now come. Hallelujah. It is He that will come that has now come. Now, the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. That's a direct quotation from Habakkuk chapter 2. When it says the just shall live by faith there, actually it means the just shall live by his faith. It is his faith that makes the just come alive. So the just shall live by his faith. He's not talking about you in the sense that you will live by your faith, even though you live by your faith. But he's talking about the just. In Habakkuk's prophecy, Jesus is the just that Habakkuk is referring to. So the just will come alive. That means in he fulfilling the promise of God, many others will be made righteous through him. Say amen. It says, now the just, everyone that will be justified, they will come alive, that's what live there, by his faith. So his faith simply means that which he accomplished in bringing to pass all the promises of God. Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to flow this morning. Hallelujah. Are you ready to flow this morning? We're going to flow this morning. Hebrews 1:1. See what it says. It says, Hebrews 1:1. God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners speak in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Verse 2. As in this last day. So the same God that spoke in verse 1 in this last days. So this last days is different from the days of the fathers. So he spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. Now in this last days, he has spoken unto us. A better rendering is in his son. In his son. So God was sundry times in time past, okay, spoke in diverse manners unto the fathers by the prophets. Now we explain the fact that the mystery which we have in the Holy Scriptures contains promises which are not plain because of the language in which they are presented. So the Bible is now saying that the reason why it was quoted in that kind of mysterious language partially is because there were separate portions of revelation set forth by the prophets. So in other words, the time frame Abel lived in is not the same time frame Moses lived in. The time frame Moses lived in is not the time frame David lived in. So in separate dispensations, separate portions of revelations, God spoke unto the fathers through the prophet. So effectually, it was the prophet speaking, but on the behalf of God. Can you see that? Now, in these last days, the same God who spoke through the medium of the prophets is now spoken in his son. So the speaking of verse 1 is not the speaking of verse 2. The speaking of verse 1 is the promise of what will happen. The speaking of verse 2, glory to God, is the fulfillment of what was promised. Can you see that? So he says, in this last days, he has spoken unto us in his son. And the word last days we've explained over and over doesn't mean the end of time. It simply means the fulfillment of the purposes and plans of God. So in this last days will also mean at last. At last means what they waited for, they didn't enter into fully, has now come to pass. Because God speaking in his son is more than speech. It is the fulfillment of the promise. Glory to God. Can you see that? Now, so he says, in this last days has spoken to us, or at last he has spoken in his son, or at last he has fulfilled the promises. So, whom he has appointed here, or the one who inherits all things spoken. And we said in this series also, that when God swore to Abraham, saying, in blessing will I bless you. By myself have I sworn, that God was referring to Christ. By myself simply means, that which I spoke to you as a promise, I will personally come to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. So on that mountain, when Abraham took Isaac upon that mountain, there was a drama playing out. There was a lesson of faith that Abraham began to learn as a prophet. So Abraham taking Isaac was God trying to figuratively portray the fact that he was going to give his only begotten son. So the Bible says, Jesus said in John chapter 8 verse 56, that your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Which day? The day of the resurrection of Jesus. When everything God said to Abraham would now be what? Yes and amen. Hallelujah. So when Abraham saw by revelation, that says, and your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was one, he was glad. So here, again, go back to that Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. So he says, whom he has appointed, that's the son, he has appointed him heir of all things. What are the all things? The all things that the prophet spoke to the fathers. Again, what did the prophet speak to the fathers again? The promises of God. Say amen. Hallelujah. Can you see that now? So the prophet spoke to the fathers the promises of God, and they spoke in diverse manners. Separate portions of revelations were communicated. They used dark speeches. So some things that were plain were hidden, because again, they were prophesying. Only men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit of God. So there were things that they said that even they didn't understand. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should what? Come. See, the grace was to come. Say the grace was to come. Say there was a grace to come that the prophets prophesied. Say that grace has now come. Can you see the difference? So Peter is reporting there was a grace to come. The prophets prophesied. The grace to come is also the promise God made to the fathers through the prophets. It's the same thing. So the prophets being prophets, they prophesied of the promises. Why would they need to prophesy? Because it was a promise, something that was off in the future, yet to be fulfilled. So the Bible now begins to describe their faith. That is not the definition of our faith. Their faith was the substance of what they hoped for. What do you hope for? What you cannot yet see. What is promised, that is going to come to pass. If I promise you that by the end of June, I will give you a check of $1 million, the check is not here yet. The check will be given to you at the end of June. So you can only believe me by waiting for it. Are we in agreement? But when the check is in your hand, are you still waiting? Are you still believing? Is the check as good as money in your account? It's as good as money in your account. So their faith was a substance of what they hoped for. It was the evidence of what they couldn't see. If you ask Abraham, how do you know Jesus will rise? I believe. How do you believe? I took my son upon the mountain. I demonstrated my faith by what I did. So Abraham's faith was in what he did. His faith was a demonstration, or he used that faith to typify what God would do through Christ Jesus. But there was no other proof, because that which would take place was not even in his time frame. So the Bible says again, look at that. So he says, they prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Next verse. He says, touching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was where in them, or in the things they said, that Spirit testified beforehand, means ahead of time. The Spirit testified, this is how the grace that will come, which the prophets are prophesying, this is how it will come to pass. So as they were speaking the promises of God in that language, they were also speaking about the fulfillment of that promise. How would it be fulfilled? They spoke about the sufferings of Christ and what? The glory that will follow. The glory that will follow. Now, if there are sufferings of Christ and there's a glory to follow, and the sufferings of Christ refer to his death, his burial, what will the glory to follow? What will it be? Thank you. And you know, without the resurrection, there is no fulfillment of promise. So the death and the burial is partial fulfillment. The resurrection is the final seal. That's important. So until resurrection, there was no yes and amen. The yes and amen is in the resurrection of what? Jesus. It is God establishing what he has said to the prophets. So he says, they sat what manner of time? That means they were not sure of the time frame. They only knew it was to come. It was off in the future. So when you're reading the prophets, the Holy Scriptures, you're looking at people who by faith, they spoke of things that they couldn't see, but they heard with their ears, and they saw in the vision, and that was off in the future. So their faith was the substance of what they were hoping for. It was the evidence of what they couldn't what? See. But it says, by it, they bore witness. Now what good report means, they were bearing witness, every one of them. It now says, by faith we understand that the worlds, again, that's not the physical earth. The activities of each of those patriarchs, Noah in a different time frame, Enoch a different time frame, Moses a different time frame. It says, by faith we understand that their worlds, the activities they yielded to, were framed by the word of God. So that the things which can be seen were not made of those things which do what? Appear. Hallelujah. Do you understand that so far? That's important. So when you now come back again now to Hebrews chapter 1, see what it says again. So it says, in this last days he has spoken to us, Hebrews 1, go back to Hebrews 1, verse 2. It says, in this last days he has spoken unto us in his son, whom he has appointed what? Heir. See, Jesus is the heir? Is the heir of all things. By whom also he made the what? Worlds. So now, what did I say about worlds earlier in Hebrews 11? Does the world mean physical environment, or does it mean the activities of men? Now, does it mean the time frame in which promises were made? Do you understand? So, in each dealing that God had with the prophets, that's what is referring to as the world. So, there were some things God said. There were activities framed by the word of God. He says Jesus is the basis for God making a promise. So, every promise God made, he was speaking with Jesus in view. That's what it means. Jesus is the substance of what God spoke forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, look at what he says again. He says, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he meet the world. Look at the next verse. Look at the quote here. Who being the one? Brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by what? The word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, he did what? He sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. He's using spirit language. He is the brightness of God's glory, the express image. In other words, in that which is seen by the Son. What was the most significant thing that God said through his Son? The resurrection. So in that resurrection, we can see God shouting loudly, I'm a giver of life, not death. Did you hear what I said? In the resurrection of Jesus, God is removing all uncertainty and doubt in the mind of man as to his full character, that God is the one who raises men from the dead through the resurrection of Jesus. So in this last days, he has spoken to us in the Son. That speaking is in the resurrection of who? Of Jesus. Notice what he says again. He says, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself what? Purged our sins, he sat down. What's that sitting? The resurrection of Jesus. That's what the sitting means. The sitting doesn't mean there was a chair kept for Jesus. In the same way, when you understand that God doesn't have a left hand. Have you ever heard about the left hand of God before? Have you ever heard about the left hand of God? No, I had somebody say that. Make sure you are close to God's right hand, because the left hand is where Satan sits. God forbid about him. You know, okay? So now, figure of speech. If you say, even in human language, this is my right hand man, does that mean the person is by your right hand? Does that mean the person is by right hand? What does right hand mean? This is my paddy. Without this person, I almost can't do anything. This is my right hand man. So when Bible says right hand, it not just speaks about authority. It's talking about, if you want to see what I will do, look here. So right hand is not right or left. It's an expression. It simply means, if you want to see me in my fullness and what I would do, my right hand. Sit down. Or after he had by himself purged our sins, or the purging of our sins is the sitting down at the right hand of the Father. So let me ask you a question. Is Jesus seated? Are your sins purged? Are they one and the same? Will Jesus be unseated? Is as good as saying, will your sins be recalled? Can you see now? After he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down. Or that purging is what? Sitting down. That sitting down is called resurrection. Say amen. I'm going somewhere, because you need to understand it, because this is the fulfillment of the promise of God. Remember, all the promises of God doesn't mean there are multiple promises. The same promise spoken in different formats, different ways by the prophets. So when Noah came on the scene, for instance, now he prepared an ark. It's a message. It's a message. It's a promise that there will be preservation. God will raise men from the dead through Jesus Christ. That's what he was saying. It's a message. Hallelujah. When it came to Abraham, it was through Isaac. It's a message. The resurrection of Jesus is the fulfillment of what? All the promises of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, see what it says now. Look at the next verse. Verse 4. So, being made so much better than what? That's not comparison. The word better there speaks about when you move away from the shadows to the reality. Because it's comparing the ministry of Jesus with that of angels. It's also comparing the ministry of the grace of God through Christ and the ministry of the law. That's what it's doing. The law was facilitated by what? Angels. And the law is not made for a righteous man. Is it not made for a righteous man? No. No. So he's making a contrast. That's what he's doing. So he says, being made so much better than angels, as he has by what? Inheritance. Let me ask again. What did Jesus inherit according to verse 2? What did he inherit? What did he inherit? It's too late in the teaching to be lost. Sorry, it's too early in the teaching to be lost. What did he inherit? Go back to verse 2. This is how I check whether you've listened. What did he say in verse 1 again? Verse 1 is in verse 1. God who had, and in divers, spoken when? Unto the fathers by who? Verse 2. He has in this latter spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed one heir of all. What are the all things? All that the prophets spoke. What did the prophets speak again? The promises of God. So who inherited all the promises? Who brought it to pass? Who manifested it? Who established it? Can you see what it's talking about? So go to verse 3 now. Is this verse 3? Okay. Next verse now. Next verse. Being made so much better than angels, as he has by what? Or as the one who fulfilled the promises. By fulfilling the promises, by bringing God's word to pass, he is far better than the authority any angel ever has. That's what he's trying to say. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Actually, let me say what the writer of Hebrews is trying to say. When you see Jesus, just forget the law. The law was spoken by angels, but grace and truth came by who? Jesus Christ. So just forget about it. When you see Christ, he is the full character, the brightness of his glory. This is God shouting loudly, speaking as loud as he possibly can. So he says, being made so much better than he is, he has obtained what? A more excellent name. That word name means authority, status, standing, wealth, what he represents by an inheritance he has obtained, or by his resurrection. He has what? Obtained a more what? Excellent name than they. Look at the next verse. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Go with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. Look at verse 32. Here's Paul preaching. He says, and we declare unto you glad tidings. Notice how that the promise, which was made unto who? The fathers. Were the promises made to you? Were the promises made to you? They were made to the fathers. So what relationship do you have with the promises? Look at the next verse. Don't jump out of it. Look at the next verse. God has fulfilled the same unto us, their what? Children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is also written where? In the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day. So if you're reading Psalm 2, which is actually verse 7, 8, if you're reading Psalm 2, and you just see out of the blues, maybe just says, thou art my son, this day. Will you understand what he's saying? No, mystery. But what's the interpretation? The resurrection of Jesus. What does thou art my son, this day have I begun? What does it mean? The resurrection of what? Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you see that? Hallelujah. So let's read again. Go back to that. This is Paul explaining Psalm 2. This is a direct quotation from Psalm 2. He's telling you, when you see David write, he's written 2 Psalm, you are my son, this day have I begotten. He's talking about raising Jesus again from the dead. So go back to Hebrews again and 1 now. Are we in verse 5? Verse 5. So unto which of the angels said he at any time? Now, let me pause a little bit. Who did God say this to? Who did God say this to? Thou art my son. Who did he say it to? What does that saying mean? Okay, hallelujah. Should we pray in tongues a little bit so you can catch up? Let me say it again. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Where was this taken from? Psalm 2. What do we just see it means in Psalm 2? The resurrection of Jesus. So, unto which of the angels said he at any time? No angel has ever resurrected. Did you get that? No angel has ever. Let me put it this way. No angel has an inheritance in God. No angel can be called son. No angel can pay for our sins. Hallelujah. No angel has the full nature of God. None. That's what he's trying to say. To which of the angels said he at any time? So what did he say to the son? Thou art my son. What does that mean? The resurrection of what? Jesus. That's how God raised from the dead. So the Bible says, to which he said, if you're thinking naturally, you're saying, God just said to Jesus, Jesus, you are my son. No, no, no. It's a figure of speech for, that is the resurrection. He has never said to any angel. So he has never given an angel the name that Jesus has. The name that Jesus has is what? Resurrection from the dead. Or the firstborn. Glory to God. What does that also mean? He has inherited all that the prophet spoke. Why did they speak? The promises of God. What does that mean? He is the yes and what? The amen. Glory to God. Are you following? That's important for you to see. Because now that you are in Christ, glory to God. Acts chapter 2. Before you read Acts chapter 2, look at Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 4. Look at what Jesus said. Because some things happen in Acts 2. They are going to happen here again this morning. Hallelujah. And being assembled together with them, commanding them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. But wait for what? The promise of who? Do you know this phrase is coming only from Jesus? After the resurrection, he never said the promise of God. He said the promise of who? The Father. That's resurrection language, the promise of the Father. See, they should wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. Acts 2 now. Acts 2 verse 4. We're going to read verse 1 and verse 4. Verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, what's then Pentecost? The day they were waiting for. The day they were waiting for. Wait for the promise. Wait for the promise. Wait for the promise. Or wait for the fulfillment of the promise. He says, and when they were all with one accord in one place, verse 4. And they were all filled with what? The Holy Ghost, and began to speak. Again, look at language. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That is, they began to speak. Let me say it again. He didn't say they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and after they were filled, they began to speak. The word hand is not a conjunction, it's an explanation. Okay? It means they were all filled. I mean, they began to speak. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes we miss little clauses like that that give us an interpretation of the text. If you think that you'll be filled, you will speak. So you're waiting for the filling, but the filling is the speaking. So they were all filled, that is, they began to speak. Do you notice that for some of us who struggled with utterance gifts, particularly when it comes to yielding the tongues, that the day you started speaking was not really different from the day you were meant to speak. You only delayed it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That you could have spoken earlier if you had understood better. How many of you had that experience? How many of you had this experience where you spoke and you stopped? Let me see. You stopped. What did you think? The tongues has gone away. How many of you? You lost it. Then you came to a meeting where you gave it back to you. Were you? I don't know. So you thought it was gone. Now the Bible says they were all filled. That is, they began. So the question is this: when did they speak? When they began? What was the speaking? The beginning. Who began? They began. How do we know they were filled? It was in what they were doing and they were saying. And Peter got up and began to explain, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass. In essence, Peter was saying, it has now come to pass. How has it come to pass? Wait for the promise of the Father. How did promise of the Father come? Jesus is raised from the dead. Hallelujah. So do you have the Spirit? Do you have the Spirit? Now, Joel said with all authority, it shall come to pass. That's the extent of Joel's faith. Peter is using Joel's prophecy to explain an event that has already taken place. Listen carefully. Joel spoke of a future event. Peter preached about a present tense experience. See the difference? So Joel spoke about the future event. What will happen? Then after it happened, Peter preached of it as a present tense reality. It has already taken place. Let me put it this way. It's as though when they were speaking, fulfilling Joel's prophecy, Peter got up. He told everybody, hold on, let us explain to them before we continue. And he began to explain. And he explained what was happening because it was now a reality. So in other words, what he was saying was this. What Moses longed for. Numbers chapter 11 verse 29. How I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets. It was a prophecy. That means how I wish all of them could speak for God. Then Joel picked it up in Joel 2:28. It shall come to pass. Afterwards is Joel's language. Afterwards. Joel said afterwards. So if you're looking at Joel, you want to ask a question. Afterwards when? But when Peter was quoting Joel, Peter, who is standing in the reality of the resurrection, Peter said, it shall come to pass in the last days. Where did we see the word last days again? Where did we see that word last days? That phrase last days. Where did you see it earlier? Hebrews. What does it mean? At last. What does at last mean in the context of Hebrews? In the resurrection of Jesus. Can you see that? So Peter said, it shall come to pass in the last days, or in the resurrection of Jesus, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. But here's the question. When they were speaking in tongues, nobody saw anything being poured out. What they saw were the activities of men acting by the Spirit. So what Joel said, I will pour out my Spirit. If you follow Joel's language as a prophet, you know what you would think? Something will land on your head. You imagine a bucket of oil dropping on you. So you are waiting. Pour. If you could see Jesus, stand in front of him, Nemo. Open your mouth. Do something. Pour. What will pour? Nothing will pour. You are the one that will pour. Because the Spirit is in you now. The Spirit is in you now. Now, you know it's interesting. When we were worshipping earlier, what was happening? Outpouring of the Spirit. Did the choir sing? Oh, yeah, spirit pour. What was happening? Outpouring of the spirit. What was the outpouring? Men rejoicing in the Holy Ghost. What was that? Outpouring of the spirit. What were you doing? You were fulfilling Joel's prophecy. Even Joel did not have it that good. Joel didn't see it to that degree. That men can be jumping and it's by the power of God. Do you understand what that means? So you are in the promise now as a reality. Bible says, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled. That is, they began. So nothing starts until you begin. Now, they didn't tell us the sequence in which they began. We just know that 120 people began. So some could have been fast, some could have been slow. Have you noticed in meetings like this, there are some men who are always sharp responders. They are the first. In fact, they are the ones who let you know what the Holy Ghost is doing. Every assembly has them. I have always been one of them. All my days. Because I love things of the Spirit. But there are some people. Something must move me. And they're like, let the resurrection of Jesus move you. Let the resurrection of Jesus just move you. Tell your neighbor, let the resurrection of Jesus move you. Let it move you. He says, it's enough to move you. Say, even the angels are moved by the resurrection of Jesus. So let the resurrection of Jesus move you. Hallelujah. Let it move your mouth, your tongue. Let it move your hand. Let it move your leg in a dance. Let it move it in its run. I'm giving you an instruction. Let it move you now. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have your seat. You know, some of us came from SU setting. You know SU setting? Or Anglican. That's even better. If you're Catholic, you mumble everything. So anybody shouting that way, what's it? Why are you disturbing the spirit? No, say that I'm shouting by the spirit. I'm shouting by the spirit. I'm shouting by the spirit. So sometimes it's different from your religious persuasion or background where you're coming from. So it's like a walk in progress. You have to like sort of get out of your shell, because you know you're that kind of person who's like, you know, in some ways I'm reserved. I'm so reserved. But the resurrection power, it lives inside of you. It is inside of you. You can't contain that and stay still. You can't contain that and just be staying still and just sit down without doing anything. No. Peter said, this is that. And people were shouting. They were dancing. They were running. I said, Peter, this is that which was spoken. It was spoken. This is the activity of what was spoken. You know what Peter was saying? We didn't disappoint you well. Hey! You know, I have a feeling that some of us, when we get to heaven, you will get a personal handshake from Moses. Some of you will be greeted by Joel, say that you drank well. You drank well. You came. You are part of that club. Hallelujah. You know, some of you, it's Jonah that will welcome you. It's Jonah that will welcome you. That, bros, you are one of them. You just kept sitting. You know how good God is. Just sat. You just covered goodness. You covered goodness. You know, and then some of you, Paul will give you high five. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Glory to God. But then be not drunk with wine when it's excess, but be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. 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 Speaking to yourselves. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Be not drunk with wine, When the next says, but be filled. Keep being filled with the Spirit. If you have been filled before, be filled again. If you shouted before, you shout again. If you dance before, you dance again. If you spoke before, you speak again. Glory to God. Keep being filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody. Glory to God. Sit down a minute. You see, what we just did now, the invisible activities of the Spirit become visible to us. Because we are the body of Christ, the body of His resurrection. All that's in that resurrection becomes visible through the physical activity of the body. So when we yield, the Bible says that this is that which was spoken. Men saw certain activities. They concluded, these men are filled or drunk with new wine. Peter said, they are not drunk as you suppose. They are drunk. It is by the third hour of the day. The pubs are not yet open. But heaven's pub is eternally open in the resurrection of Jesus. I can drink where I am. I can drink wherever I am. Every day is for drinking. Every day is for shaking up. Glory to God. Hey, glory to God. That's why He didn't just give us the word. Somebody says, if you stay too long with the word, if you are really following the word, it will lead you into the things of the Spirit. Say, but if you take the letter of the word, you will dry up. Say, if you stay only with the Spirit, you will just blow up. But with the word and the Spirit, there's refreshing. Because the Spirit will tell you or lead you into the things of the Spirit. And the Spirit will give you instructions based on the word of God. It says, don't be drunk with wine when it's excess. Be filled. Keep being filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves. Give expression to the life of the Spirit. So many times, when we come together and we begin to express, the miracles are in our expression. The power that turns things around is in our gathering. God is not going to do anything extra. That which He has done is more than sufficient. He says the exceeding greatness of His power towards us that believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He accomplished in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. So when they were speaking on that day of Pentecost, they were expressing resurrection power. That's what they were doing. So it got to a point, there is increase in intensity. Some began to shout. Some began to vibrate. You know, when you are holding on to electric current, the one you can hold on to is the one that's not strong. I'm not talking about the one that, you know, you touch your antenna. I just like this. There's one that when you touch it, you can't even let go. You just say, You understand? So there's a time when intensity is so much, you can't sit still. You can't see it. You are drunk. Now, here's what many don't realize. The person who suddenly jumped and ran just released power into the environment. Why is he saying keep being filled? Because that feeling, that expression is for the benefit of the church, of the saints. That's what it is. So when you come together, every one of you, every one of you, is every one of you has. Sometimes, even on that list, some things are not written there. Sometimes what you have is a shout. Sometimes what you have is a dance. You know, I told us some time back, that in our Holy Ghost meetings, this is about 22 years ago, 23 years ago, we had two people like that. While the meeting is going on, as the intensity increases, they will just jump up and start dancing by the Spirit. Nothing coordinated. The minute they do, if the meeting was dragging, he just lifts up. Because he has supplying resurrection power. Hallelujah. What's resurrection power? The revelation of all that Christ gave to us in the epistles. All He said you are, you are. The power is there to affirm that you are who He says you are. You know you are not barren. You know you are fruitful. You know you are not poor. You know you are wealthy. You know you are not stuck. You know you have liberty. You have liberty. But then there are challenges that come your way that make it appear as though the word of God is not working. But by the power of the Spirit, you shift here, you take this round, you express the power of the glory of God, you step out of confinement, every limitation is cast off. By the Spirit. to remember, I can't be confused. I'm seated with him in the heavenly. I can't be stranded. I can't be stuck. Stagnation is far from me. I am who he says I am. I have what he says I have. Then you are back on the fast track. For many of us, fellowship, your fellowship with God is just dragging, because you've stayed too far away from heaven's wine. The wine is inside, but you have not been drinking. But today you will drink. Today you will drink. Today you will drink. And be full to overflowing. To overflowing. Glory to God. Somebody says, how will the money come? Intelligent with the things of the spirit. Be intelligent. I'm talking about you getting up. You laugh. You now wait. Say, yes, interpretation. I see money coming from that direction. I see money coming from that direction. I see help coming from that direction. Men are receiving instructions on my behalf. Those that ought to come my way, they are coming my way. Assistance is coming. Help is coming. I am remembered for good. Glory to God. That's what you do. If Jesus could sort out personal needs in the four gospels, the emphasis in the epistles may not be on personal needs, because he wants us to be aware that is not our main focus. But it doesn't remove the fact that he's concerned about you. The one who is concerned about your eternity is fully concerned about your presence. He knows how to sort out your debts. He knows how to remove the worries and confusion that comes to your mind. He knows how to. If he gave you eternity, oh, your present is a little bit, it's just a little thing. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you can boldly say, you know, I hear the Spirit of God say, there are things you were once fervent about, you once believed for, you were once eagerly looking forward to. You have left it aside because time seems to have passed. So you are now thinking, well, I can do without. Don't do without. I say to you by the Spirit, don't do without. Say it as you want it. Receive it as you want it now. Receive it as you want it now. Receive it as you want it now. You know, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So there's a tendency for you to just say, well, you are adjusting what was once a strong desire because you've not seen. So you said that, okay, well, I think I can do. You don't have to do without. We ask of the God who gives to all men liberally, generously, and does not find fault. He has done too many things that men called impossible for you to doubt now. Things you can only tell, this is but the finger of God. I remember watching a video about 3 years ago. Someone was on that, seen that video. No one mentioned the ministry. The woman was a pastor's wife. They believed God for food of the womb. And something happened and the woman's womb had to be removed. And they believed God and they trusted God for a child. The womb was removed. The doctors were aware and the woman got pregnant. And the doctor said, it's not possible. Said, I don't know whether it's possible or not, but I am pregnant. They did a scan, they checked. What was carrying the baby was not a wound. It was a specially made pouch by God that the doctors had to learn. What kind of walking is this? What kind of walking is this? We must not leave those things. A particular minister's wife, they were having some issues financially and they prayed to God and God gave them a single instruction. He said, tell her to place the pot in the kitchen and pray. There's only one instruction. Don't look into the pot. Just keep serving. She was serving. She was serving. Day one, day two, day three, day four. She will keep serving. But you know women, one day curiosity, no, what's going on here? When she opened the pot, it was empty. This spoon was going into another dimension. Something was coming out. Brothers and sisters, at the beginning of the meeting, I heard miracles. All things are possible. 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 Miraculous supplies, miraculous provisions, giant quantum leaps are taking place right now. 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 Dream appointments. Dream appointments. Dream appointments. They are coming up. A single client. A single client. A single client. A single client coming your way will be over and above every other one you have had till now. Over and above every other one that you have had till now. Glory to God. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. And one of the doors, Idia Koko, Shimbro Katiana, Sesser, Chobro Tevi Kalam Kitchen, Ishunro Kiki, Sisi Pratika, Ansonika, Eka Kosuso Prote E, proof producers is who have called you to be. Bearing witness, producing proof. Not looking for proof, but producing fruit. Bringing or giving expression to the reality of my resurrection, my endless and limitless power. So stand in your place this season, for through your mouth and through your hands will life go forth to bless men and to change lives. So focus not solely on just needs, but move over into that place of ministry. For you see, the days are here. So many are coming in. Do not reject even the prompting. Do not reject the leading, but step in. For marvelous things wired in you, in the Holy One, are meant to find expression. And these are the days of expressing His mighty power, His mighty grace. And let that grace, let it be your desire. Let it be your passion. Let it be your pursuit. And then you will find out that there are many things you will never need to pray about, but they will come your way. And you will find yourself being satisfied and being content with the grace of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Lift your hands and thank Him. Eka susu kupra daka tile gishte enzo sukro nakatine en gelo shinto bronze frenika anse en do stafro nakatine kika na oh kendri shinso bronze frenika oh prana kanste eno susu prana kote lige dishte ekaka ekuku lukuka ekike kenzu efro vishte frene enegata. Woo, Frasteke, Elekuko Kaste, Eno Sande, Eka Lashtir, Eki Sesumro Kutanangati, Ejushinobro, Ejushinobro Vanake, Eaka Susubro Neganake, Kise Sike Leke, Woo, Frakeste, Sise Fredika Laka Shike Digenisa, Enzo Porane, Eduko Langaki, Eshengros Lakasike, Ekanse Soproko Kalagaki, Shigristia Sagata, Esto Soproko Katini, Ekanamaha, Ekanamaha, Ekanamaha. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Listen carefully. You are in a situation right now that looks unyielding, very difficult, unyielding. In fact, you are a bit discouraged. That's how the situation looks to you. You're actually discouraged, unyielding. And as another individual, you are actually afraid. You are not sure you will survive the situation. But the power of God is here. The power of God is here this morning. For He has not given us spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You are in that kind of situation this morning. Then just come forward. We're going to carry out an instruction. I spoke about different people. It's not the same experience. It's unyielding. It's just like it remains just there. It's just there. It just remains unyielding. And there's one person. The situation is fearful. Your heart is not steady. Fear sometimes comes in. Am I going to come out of this? Am I going to come to the other side? Will it work out for me? Will it work out for me? Will it work out? Glory to God. Will it work out? As though you're stuck. Thank you. You know, you have impressions by the Spirit, and you pick up some. There are some I cannot see. So when I can't see exactly, when I can't see, I mean, I shouldn't say publicly. So I'll give out a general call that will cover everyone. Now, let me tell you what I saw by the Spirit. Listen. When you want to shout with you, it's going to be a shout of victory. Okay? That challenge, I saw it become ashes. And the wind blew it away. Good news for me very soon. You'll have good news for us very, very soon. Yeah. Lift your hands and thank Him. It's done. It's done. It's done. Thank Him. It's done. It's done. It's done. It's done. It's done. It's done. You can go back thanking Him. It's done. It's done. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah. Glory to God. Somebody has an, you have an utterance? Yeah.
Melagrano bra has a friend oba shinagam brada gizo fragadi. Grenada Zumbra da Gadiga Diga Subadanda Emegram Bradi Gazubra Gadiganda Grado Bradiga Subranana. He doesn't find fault in you, he gives to all the husk. He doesn't find fault in you. He will never find fault in you. He gives to all the ask. He gives to all the ask. He will never give you a no. He doesn't find fault in you. He never finds fault in you. He gives to all the ask. He gives to all the husk of Him. He never finds fault in you. He never finds fault in you. He will never, never find fault in you. He gives to all the husk of Him. He gives to all. He gives to all that ask of Him. He gives to all that ask of Him. We've seen Him truly in Christ. He's a giver. We've truly seen Him in Christ. He's a giver, oh Gubrahada Gisko Manangabali Ganshkala Gabadi Ebeniga Zumbra Gabaga Zumbranda Gishkala Gadi. We've seen Him clearly in Christ. He's a giver. We've seen Him clearly in Christ. We've seen Him clearly in Christ. He died for the ungodly. He never finds fault in the ungodly. He didn't find fault in the sinner. He never counts their sins. He never counts their sins. He never counts your mistakes. He never counts it. He doesn't see. He gives to all that ask of him. He gives to all that ask of him. He never finds fault. He never finds fault. He never finds fault. He never finds fault. He gives to all that ask of him. Askabali gazubrahada manda grenabashidada. E grenam bladi gazubrahaga bali gashanda. He gives to all that ask. He gives to all that ask of him. He gives to all that ask of him. We've seen him truly in Christ. He's a giver. He's a giver. He never finds fault. Hallelujah. He never finds fault. Hallelujah. So you can go ahead and ask. Hallelujah. You can go ahead and ask. We've seen him truly. He is a giver. He gives. He never takes. He always, always gives. Hallelujah. Praise God.
That's a very strong teaching in songs. A very strong teaching. When you see something emphasized, the Spirit is trying to let you know that you need to allow whatever is hindering you from receiving to go. You see how many times that song, the same instruction was given? That's the Spirit's emphasis. That's the Spirit trying to persuade you that it doesn't find fault. Say, he loves me as I am. His love is more than enough. His love is my confidence. His acceptance is my boasting. His love is my confidence. His acceptance is my boast. Just receive. Where's Brother Stephen? Is at the back? Two instructions that correlate. That instruction is in line with that which he also gave just now. They mean one and the same thing. Okay, it's out of the option. Oh, it's in the Spirit. Okay. God, glory to God. So, okay, I will give it on his behalf now. Doors are thrown wide open as you run. Doors are thrown wide open as you run. Doors are thrown wide open as you run. They are thrown wide open as you run. Doors 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 are thrown wide open as you run. Yeah. I see someone you've been trying to do your master's. You have not been able to. You'll be able to start now. I told someone also you ran to another country just now. You ran to another country just now. You ran to another country just now. The door was open for you to go. The door is 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 open for you to go. Great are you, Lord. Greatly to be praised. Greatly to be praised. Father, you reign. Great are you, Lord. Greatly to be praised, Father, you reign. Oh, great are you, Lord. Greatly to be praised, greatly to be praised, Father. We sing.
Amen. Sit down, sit down. I just sense that you want to move over to instructions. Be not weary in well doing. Be not weary in well doing. For in due season you shall reap. This is due season. 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 All the giving. When shall I bring home the harvest? Harvest is now. So do not withdraw your hand from giving. No, that's the enemy trying to steal from you, to stop you from that consistency by which results come. Do not withdraw your hand in giving, for that thought has plagued you for a while. What about it? What is the purpose behind it? Should I really continue? Is it really necessary? Oh, continue, says the Spirit of God. Continue. This is due season. Due season is here. You will reap. You will reap, but do not give up. Pay attention. Keep the harvest in view. You will reap. You will reap. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For to pray in your strength will bring weariness. To pray with disability will bring refreshing. For that which has haunted you for a while and has brought that feeling of helplessness, it will dissipate as you pray in Him. For He knows how to bring you out. He knows how to set you in the right direction. He knows how to cause things to work for your good. So do not give up in praying, not in your strength, but in His strength by the Spirit. For you always pray thus far and no more. You're always getting to the edge, to the brink, but then you step back. No, pursue and continue and press in until you reach over the mountaintop to the other side. Then you will see that there are things waiting that once your eyes see, weariness will go. Weariness will go. You'll be strengthening. Supernatural refreshing will come to you, because that which your eyes have seen, your life cannot be denied of. So pressing, for there are many things He wants to show you this season. Things that are coming, things you will handle, things you will walk in as you pray. It will open your eyes to see, but then every time you pray, you always stop short of seeing those things. Oh, walk hand in hand with me, said the Lord, for there are many things I want to show you, things that I plan and prepared. For you see, as you see, your faith embraces that which you see, and it's easier for you to stay focused. It's easier for you to stay consistent. For then your walk will no longer be lopsided. You will stand straight, because you know the end from the beginning. For you are mine, and the end I determined from the beginning. And because you are mine, I show you the end from the beginning. So when you see the end, nothing in between can cause your steps to stumble or cause you to falter. You will stand strong. My strength will be your strength. It will pull you, sustain you, uphold you until you run your course to the very end. So stay, for that which has been supplied in abundance by my Spirit, supplications are meant to launch you into the new season. Can't you see that the other season is already gone? Yea, the traces of it are already fading away. Now the new season begins, and many are already in the new season with their 2 feet standing in it. Many are still, so to speak, waving at the new season, not having entered. But the energy of the Spirit is that supernatural energy by which you enter into new season in God. So enter as you pray. See as you pray. Know. So, bro, eat a cattle. You shrunk from an asset, Hilegika. For this season shall not be as the other season. For there is no drought in this season. There's no doubt in this season. For there's always something constant that you are doing that is unfolding, even in the blessings of God. So let this be that impetus that draws you in fully into that which He has spoken, that you may have a time of refreshing in in the glory of God, a glory that cannot be stopped, a glory that brooks no interference, a glory that strengthens, a glory that puts you over, a glory that causes you to overcome. And within that glory is a change of story, a change of experience. That which I've prepared, it will now be laid out for all to see. And none will ask you again, what are you waiting for? They will see what you've trusted in. They will see what you have believed. They will see manifestation of that which you have longed for. Oh Lord, Sidaku, Yishtorano, Stura Kiata, Ah Kumori, Eshi Cross the Kasesikede. Yeah, there'll be some displacements. Displacements ministry wise. Displacements ministry wise. There will be some displacements. But take heed. Take heed that you walk in love always. Take heed that you walk in love always. Take heed that your heart is right always. Even as this business begins to take place, and it will work out. Things will work out better. For strife, offense are tools the enemy will try to use to scatter that which I begin. But then you will not succumb. You will stand firm. You'll be strong in my love. You walk the straight and narrow path, holding me and I holding you by the hand. And the next season, you will navigate it successfully. No casualty. No casualties. No casualties of any kind. It is better. It is far better that the season you're coming from, it is far better. So honestly pressed. Honestly pressing. And pray. And pray until you have a glimpse of that season. Oh, your heart will overflow with joy as you see what he has in mind. What he has in mind. For you see, all that those in the world can expect is gloom and doom and shame and despair and reproach. But all that awaits you is joy and thanksgiving and triumph and celebration and much rejoicing. So let that be your motivation to pray. Pray, pray with the harvest in your heart, for his faithfulness is the harvest of the saints. His faithfulness is the harvest of the saints. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you glory. Sing a song, please. Sing a song.
I declare that this is my year of supernatural help. I declare I have all the help of God. Everything is working out. I declare that this is my year of supernatural. I declare I have all the help of God. Everything is working out. I can do all things. There's no limitation. Oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. There's no limitations. There's no limitation. Oh, I can do all things through Christ. I declare that this is my year of supernatural. I declare that this is my year of supernatural
help.
I declare I have all the help of God. Everything is working. I can do all things.
There's no limitation.
There is no limitation.
Supernatural aid. We have all the help of God that we need. And when challenges come, there's a tendency to just forget prophecy. We didn't just say the year of supernatural aid because we felt like it. It came out of a season of prayer that we all had last year, November. It came out of that season. That's what God said. That's what's available. But when challenges come, we tend to just forget. We throw away. Is this not what God said? God reminds us that power is in the word, that which He has spoken. We have all the help of God that we need. Say, I have all the help of God that I need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is my season, my year of supernatural aid. I am mightily helped of God. Lift your hands and give Him thanks in the morning.